Got a bad bitch on me.
What?
Got a bad bitch on me. She
D T F. She tell me she
D T F.
I heard she
D T F.
What?
And you ain't hanging with the team if you ain't down to fuck.
Okay. Well,
welcome to DTF, Daryl Timmery Fun Hour. It is the greatest sex education, comedy, sometimes game show podcast in the known universe. Hi. I'm your resident sexuality educator, Dr. Timmery.
And I'm your residential sexuality educator, Daryl Charles.
Yay!
Yeah, we did it. And yeah, thank you for tuning in. Welcome back. We are here to give you the latest in fuck news.
Yeah, that's what we are. We are the fuck news.
We are here with that fuck shit.
I love it.
I know I'm not using that the way that the youth do.
I wonder if there are any youth that listen to this who would know that.
You know? I wonder. I wonder, yeah, how many people in the key demo are we reaching?
I don't know, but thanks for listening if you are one of those people.
Hey,
with that,
whatever demo you're in, I appreciate you. Tell other people about us.
Yes. Yeah, we are.
But yeah, we're here.
We are here. If this is randomly the first time you're listening, just so you know, we were for 7 years an in-person live show. We took it to the internet when the world shut down, and we are approaching 8 years of this show in May.
In May, yep.
That's wild. The ravages of time.
And yeah, you know, we haven't even begun talking about like what that's gonna look like for us, but you know, it's and now is not the time.
But if anyone has any ideas and you're like, you know what you should do for your anniversary, you should have this person back, you should play this game again or whatever, let us know. You can message us on you can send them individually to us on Twitter, or you can message the DTF Daryl and Timmery Fun Hour Facebook page with your ideas, your requests. We are definitely interested in honoring your ideas.
Very true. If you have any ideas, questions, weird observations, we're here, and we will at the very least read them.
Yeah, and if it's a good one, we'll
then send
you
each other a message about how weird it is, and then then move on with our life.
And if it's a good enough question, we will give you like a co-producer credit. So
boom.
Yeah. So that could be your motivation. Yeah, so that's coming up. But you ready to get to the fucking news?
Yes.
All right. So our first piece of fucking news. All right. I don't even know where to start with this. Okay. So let me preface this with a fun story about how every time I write about porn or I write about sex addiction or one of those sort of things, people respond to me about things that I didn't actually say, and they respond with opinions about porn that are based on, I don't know, I guess their feelings. And whenever I write about porn or something of that nature, I'll get some sort of comment about violence in porn and how, you know, it's proof of, you know, porn causing violence in the real world, and that's why we need to combat it. And people basically treat porn as though it is the cause of the social problems that absolutely fucking existed before, you know, video was an even existing medium. So that's the background.
Yeah.
A lot of people hold opinions on porn that aren't based on, I don't know, facts.
That are based on their feelings. And those feelings mean what their parents told them and how awkwardly they felt when they got told about it when they were 12.
Yeah, that's a big part of it. Or I got a fun one the other day that was from some, like, purportedly feminist podcast, and they were talking about, yeah, good luck like educating men around porn because they haven't given a shit so far and they never will. And I was just like, huh, fascinating take. Because if your concept is people haven't known this thing yet, they never can, like, that's just really depressing to me as an educator.
Right. Like, right.
How will we as a species go forward if nobody's minds can ever be changed and we can't possibly be better?
Right. I mean, I get that. I agree to some degree with the statement with my own life, where it's like there are some arguments I'm not going to have anymore mm-hmm. because the information is too widely accessible that I'm not going to behave as if you don't know that this is a thing. Mm-hmm. But still, yeah, it's not to say that you just refuse to learn. It's like the shit is out there. You can go get it.
Yeah, I still also operate from a place of, like, I'm Pollyanna about this sort of thing, where the idea is like, okay, so maybe the information's out there, but like most people aren't particularly well versed in research methods, and so if I don't give them like the really specific exact search terms to use, you know, and if they don't have the background information to sort through which sources are true and which ones are full of shit, like people will, you know, send me links to like the, what is that, LifeSite News or whatever, which is just like, just whatever the opposite of facts are. And I'll be like, I mean, just because it's written down doesn't mean it's true, guys. Like stuff like this where it's like, there's a lot of information out there, but doesn't mean people are able to interpret this stuff well or able to find better sources or that sort of thing. So I'm just going to always operate from a place of, well, maybe you haven't heard this yet.
True, I guess. I mean, like, you know, in the constant self-appointed job of finding articles for us, I did stumble upon this week. It got sent around that, oh man, now I can't find it. But it was like a woman was arrested for squirting on a cop.
Wow.
And the article was, it just pointed directly to a Snopes thing. That was like, you know, is this true? And the answer was, it was from a satire website. Yeah. The website posts satire, and a lot of their satire is sexual in nature and provocative in that way. And so someone, you know, down the line decides to omit the fact that it was satire, and then it gets spread around.
Yeah, I mean, because, like, that's actually really funny, because I think I personally take that as sort of a play on the fact that there are still currently, like, laws needing to be drafted to say, like, you can't have sex with people who are in custody, because people in custody can't say no, so therefore it's not consensual. So, to me, that's actually quite funny.
Right, yeah, I mean, it's like, it, you know, as a satire piece, it worked.
Yeah.
For all of the good and bad reasons that it can work. The problem is not with the fact that it was satire. The problem is not with the author of it. The problem is not with the website that put it up. The problem is that people are undereducated when it comes to research methods and the scientific method. And yeah, being able to draw conclusions from data.
There was an interview I heard recently with a researcher who was looking at like how the marketplace of ideas actually works in real life as a concept, and he was like, it takes like so much longer for facts to spread, and it's like, I think it was like 6 times faster and much broader and much wider and et cetera for something that is factually untrue to get disseminated on like a Twitter. So the marketplace of ideas as a concept only works if everyone actually had comparable sized platforms, and if people were able to discern the truth.
It's a weird thing when it's like, yeah, free markets are never truly free. And that's why some people, I believe they're called cucks, believe that, you know, regulatory bodies need to be instantiated in a lot of these places to make sure that bad actors and people who seek to do nothing but further nonsense have a tougher time than those who just want to actually, you know, contribute to the free spreading of actual facts. But, you know, my freedoms. Or whatever.
Well, this is a good jumping off point to get to this particular story then, because this is a
to the actual article we have not mentioned yet.
Yeah, so this is the thing that we've been alluding to for approximately 7 minutes,
and also 7 years.
Yes, and also 7 years.
It has to be said, we bring this up a lot, but sure, you know, they won't stop.
Yeah, we'll talk about it until it's not a problem anymore.
Right. I've been doing stand up, and every time I bring up something racial, especially because the place that I typically go to nowadays is in the sticks or in the suburbs, and I'll be like, I know you don't want to talk about race, but y'all keep doing it. Yeah. It's not me, right? Like, I'm just talking about what y'all did yesterday. Mm. So, yeah, similarly.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this is funny because we've been sort of like throwing this as a right wing sort of talking point or whatever, which it also is. But what we're discussing now today, this piece of fucking news, is that the British Journal of Criminology published a study, and I'm using air quotes as much as I can, and I'm just side eyeing as hard as I can. But the British Journal of Criminology. Basically, the TLDR version is that they said that like 1 in 8 of the videos that are on like the opening page of a porn site when you go on it, like, and it's a, you know, it's a hub
for a tube site.
Yeah, like a tube site. Yeah. That 1 in 8 will be violent, and that is right. Warping kids' minds, and it's turning them into sexual violators. But like, this is wildly inaccurate for a number of reasons. Mm-hmm. And I want to thank a few different people for not only bringing this study to my attention, but for breaking down what's wrong with it. So Mike Stabile posted on Twitter a thread about what was wrong with it. And then Kathy Reisenwitz wrote an op-ed for the AVN where they both break down methodologically why this study is a mess. And one of the first reasons is that everything is violent, according to these researchers. Right. So if the word stepmom's in there, that's going to count for them, because that is, you know, a form of like incest. If a video is described
that's
as like,
that's some like flowers in the attic kind of shit right there. It's like, you know, typically, I mean, not typically, but what you'd hope is stepmom means like warm and loving and wonderful person who has decided to get bonus children in life because their capacity for love is huge.
That's lovely.
And, you know, that's lovely. And, you know,
but that's not
maybe
what's in that porn.
that's not what it's in stepmom. Actually, you know what? I'm not a big proponent of any kind of, I love the way that they phrased it in here. Incest/stepcest. I'm not a fan of that particular genre of video, but in the self-appointed job of finding stuff for us, that's the excuse I'll use right now, I have seen a number of these productions, and honestly, discipline and like you've been bad is in a very it's a very low percentage of these videos. A lot of it is wrapped up in love.
Yeah, the funny thing is, like, a lot of these things that they are describing as violent, whether it be incest or they're using terms like plowed or whatever, are actually super vanilla. They're actually some of the most vanilla things, but, like, the terminology is for a porn site.
So you're right.
That's what it's gonna be like. And just, like, incest porn is just, at the moment, one of the most popular categories. And it will probably be for a while, and then it'll be replaced by something else that is just slightly taboo now. Much like anal was, like, the thing for a while. Yep. And it still is very popular. But, like, they just go through trends of, like, whatever is socially taboo is going to be the thing that's very eroticized.
Right, exactly. It's just a function of the fact that human beings are pretty terrible overall. when it comes to our imaginations, right? We can imagine a lot of terrible things, and we tend to seek controversy and taboo because those things are the spice of life. They make us challenge our assumptions. They make us think. And sometimes you don't know why your brain likes a thing, too, is another thing. You know. So, yeah, it's like, I remember going to the Museum of Sex in New York in the before times. And, man, I still shudder at the thought of they had, like, real dolls, not the brand real dolls, but they had some like sex doll things, and they allowed you to touch all of the erogenous zones on it.
Oh.
And I'll never forget how dirty those parts were, because the unwashed masses were fingering this thing.
Yeah.
And so the skin was one color, and then the pubic area was a completely different color. And I was like, that's fucking disgusting. And that was years before today. So there's that. They probably won't do that again. Or they'll just have a bunch of hand sanitizer, which will make it even ickier.
That would not work on that material.
Yeah, but they did the thing I'm bringing up is that they had like a, someone did like a, an evaluation of the most searched porn on the internet. And they did like the top 50 or whatever. And then they had little, you know, exhibits for all of them. And the number one was youth. And they used the word youth because, you know, teenage and young and, you know, all these other words, they just wrapped up in youth. And that was the number one searched thing for porn on the internet. And it's like, I don't think there's a single part. Well, I mean, if you're not a senator or a representative from Florida, you probably know that this is terrible and bad. But that is humanity. We look for that shit, and it doesn't necessarily mean.
I'd say that's what a couple things about that, and one of them is we can take that as a terrible place. So we can talk about the fact that Bad Bobby like was 18 for less than a week before she went on OnlyFans and made $1 million in one day, and how kind of like that means y'all were just waiting.
Yeah.
And we can have a conversation about that. We can also talk about the fact that like sometimes these terms are effectively like leading us towards a tone. Like for instance, to look at teen porn or look at young porn might actually be like a little bit softer, perhaps less violent, in fact, because a lot of that stuff might actually be like, oh, I've never done this before. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's a much sweeter initiation kind of thing. And the vibe is very much like, oh, I'll take care of you. Or like, you know, maybe the vibe is that you are going for the exploitativeness, but it's going to be like, oh no, I can't do this. But it's actually not at all like a violent thing. And it's obviously like adults who are agreeing to play these roles.
Right.
So and
someone
like,
who's obviously 30 behaving as if they're 20.
Yeah. I mean, like one of the people that's quoted in this AVN article was talking about how, yeah, I use like teen in my search terms of my porn until I turned like 30, you know, because it's like you're a teen until you're a MILF, because these are branding things. This is not quite literally pedophilia, you know, like, and we could say that like in, you know, there is like definitely a worshiping and an eroticization of youth culture, but that's also true of like jeans ads.
Yeah. Like, I mean, that is a bigger problem than just porn is not. Yeah, you get real chicken and egg when you start talking about that.
Yeah, this whole thing, this whole study, of course, is like, is it really the porn that's creating these ideas that existed in our culture long before, you know, there was ever a photo camera in the world? Because like, pretty sure that like adolescent girls were getting sexualized a long time ago.
Exactly. Yeah.
So.
Right. I mean, you read the Scarlet Letter. That shit was porn.
Yeah. So to further go into this study and what's wrong with it is that they're just like overbroad with fucking everything. Anything they decided what was coercive and exploitative was like literally anything where it was like, oh no, or like it's supposed to be a hidden cam, you know, it's probably actually not, or you know, they would call it like aggression when it's, you know, it's just, I mean, not overtly like actually violent. And they excluded intentionally BDSM, but then they still would count things that were like technically BDSM practices, but like you know, if there's a slapping or whatever, that's inherently violent.
But the idea of like, what is it called? Impact play. They wouldn't check that off because that's too BDSM a term. And so it's not, they are obviously picking and choosing what they're looking at.
Yeah. And if the terms were like needs the cash or bribe or that they were drunk or whatever, those all count as power differentials, which is true, because that's like, that's the conceit of the video. That's basically the plot.
Yeah.
Because you need some sort of like plot device, because it's like, what differentiates this video from another one?
Exactly.
But again, like, not every single one of these is actually, you know, going to contain that from a thematic level. Like, if you had a bunch of English majors go in and watch these things, would they take away the idea that like this is actually a violent, coercive experience? And that's on top of the fact that this is a form of entertainment, and we don't hold any other genre to this kind of standard. We don't do this for like action movies. We don't assume everybody in there is actually being exploited because the plot of the movie is that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's that's another great point that's made in this article, is that you're stop being weird around sex.
They also talked to Dr. Justin Lehmiller, who is like a very big deal sex researcher who we've talked about a lot on the show, and he also just talks about the fact that, like, again, this is a fantasy genre, and we don't want to watch, you know, stuff that is boring and like our real lives necessarily. And it's the same, like, the best comparison I can always make is like, do you want to watch like safe driving videos, or do you want to watch Fast and the Furious? Like,
right,
because it's entertainment. Right. It's not an instructional driving video, you know. It's not a driver safety course. Because
I did not know that I was watching the Fast and the Furious, so just to see The Rock flex his way out of a cast. But
what?
I have to say, having seen it, that's exactly what I wanted to see.
Wow, this is... See, I haven't really watched them. This is...
Oh, you haven't?
No, I haven't.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I think I saw the first one.
Oh, boy, that is such a different movie. That's like almost not even canon at this point.
Wow, okay, the original is not canon?
The original is so far from... The original was about drag racing and... it was about drag racing and like thievery.
Okay.
And the most recent ones, they're essentially government agents who go around foiling like the members of Spectre.
Wow.
It is complete, like, I mean, you want to talk about taking a ride.
Wow. Okay. I did see Hobbs and Shaw in the theater. Our producer and editor, Flirt Vonnegut, took me to a theater. And we saw Hobbs and Shaw, and I was like, this is bad. This is a bad movie.
I don't think I've ever watched that movie outside of the hours of midnight and 6 a.m. And I think I was right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was just like, okay. Well, that was a movie.
Yep. A lot of things happened. Oh, you mean bullets don't matter? Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, like physics in general, just not even relevant. Mm-hmm. Absolutely not. So to go back to the fucking.
Like in this porn, the physics don't matter.
The physics don't matter. Very, very disappointing. The study is super disappointing because not only is their methodology incredibly flawed, and if everything's sexual violence, then nothing is. But also the fact that this is calling upon people to, you know, do things with this information. And we are already dealing with a Republican Party that wants to call porn a public health crisis when they don't care about actual public health crises. So, like, how about you turn all that energy onto, like, black mothers and you know, like, pregnancy mortality? How about that? How about we care
about
that one?
You really want to stop a health crisis? Black women are dying at obscene rates when giving birth. Pro-life people.
Yeah, how about we act like we actually care about...
How about we try to keep mothers alive when delivering kids?
How about it? Yeah, so like every time somebody brings up porn being a public health crisis, I'm just going to send them an article about maternal mortality.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I don't want to what about you, but one of these things is a problem.
Yeah, one of these things is real. So super disappointed in the British Journal of Criminology. I will discontinue my subscription immediately.
I reinstate my boycott.
Yes.
The British Journal of Criminology.
Yes. So I hope that they they repudiate this and say, you know, we probably shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, and again, it's not just that, you know, yes, this journal posted this thing, the science is inherently shitty, and then when you dive deeper into it, you realize that not only is it bad, but they chose to make it worse. Mm-hmm. But like we had said earlier, the problem is how easily this can find its way onto news sites. Uh-huh. And how they will take the broad strokes of the study and then post porn sites that kids watch are exposing them to violence. And it's like, whoa. You would think that, like, you made a real big jump, but no, they didn't make the big jump. Like, yeah, anyway.
It's unfortunate because, like, if you're a journalist and you're not necessarily a trained researcher or sexologist, you could see this study in the press releases and not understand why this is a problem and just report it because you're like, oh no.
Right. It's like, this is alarming, and also it's clickbaity, right?
Yes.
Like, that's gonna make someone click faster than a nuanced approach to, you know, or to the other thing that it came up with is like, oh, it turns out that violence is very much a minority of the posts that are on tube sites. That's not news.
No.
What's news is that. And so it goes back to the thing of like, it, our job here, right, and happy to do it, is to be the ones to say, hey, this is trash. When for the majority of my life, the conversation has never been to call it trash. It's been to say, this is bad, so anyone who does sex work is inherently doing a bad thing, and so when they are deprived of their rights or somehow made to suffer, it's okay, because that's the other thing that's not being said that promotes that idea.
Anytime we're talking about sexuality stuff, it's just and like, as of this recording, they're currently investigating Matt Gaetz for stuff, and it's very frustrating because he's obviously trash for a lot of reasons. Racist, fascist,
having nothing
ones.
To do with this. 2 weeks ago, he was trash.
He was trash. 6 months ago, he's trash. Years ago, he's garbage trash. And now there is this discussion where a bunch of people who are theoretically leftist or liberal or whatever are talking about sex trafficking in the same way that QAnon does. And it's not useful and it's not helpful. And the actual impact of this is going to be bad for sex workers, because every time it is, because we don't listen to sex workers when they discuss these things. So, you know, I hope that that dude gets taken out of power, but, you know.
Yeah. It's got to be the things like, yeah, I hope he gets taken out of power. And if this is what it takes for it to happen, I'm not as happy as I would be if people just stood up and said, he's a dummy and he doesn't need to have this position. You know, but hey, you gotta take the wins.
For me, like, this is a weird analogy. This is a very, very weird analogy. And I hope everybody understands that I think that, you know, like, statutory rape is bad. I want to be very clear on that. Statutory rape is bad. I also think that, you know, age of consent laws are kind of arbitrary, right? Because they vary from place to place. And the big feature of the investigation is that one of the people that he apparently hired for sex was like 17, which is inappropriate and bad and illegal, but super arbitrary because she could have been, you know, just a few months older and this would not have been illegal. Well, it might have still been illegal sex work, but like, then the problem would be sex work.
And if it didn't happen in DC, it might have been legal.
Yeah. The other thing is like the transporting, and it's like, okay, on the scale of things that he's done wrong, I don't, you know, like, I really wish that, like, having given a platform to a Holocaust denier would have been the thing that took him down, but that wasn't.
Right, exactly. So, it's like, yeah, I don't like the fact that you're using things that I don't agree with to take this person down, but I agree that this person does not need a platform.
So it's kind of like, and this is a weird analogy, when some serial killers have been caught for something arbitrary, like a headlight being out. I'm pretty sure one of the times they got Ted Bundy, it was for that. And I think that maybe Albert Fish who was a murderer of children, who killed and ate children.
He was one of the worst.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure that he got busted for something like that, like something with his car. So yeah, it's a weird analogy, but it's the same thing. It's like, it pales in comparison to the scope of things. But if it's like, if that's what it is, that takes him down.
Right. Even a broken clock can be right, but that doesn't mean that we shouldn't try to fix the fucking clock.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well.
So yeah, be better about your things. I can't remember which episode of this show we did, but it is on the podcast where we went over research methods as one of our We're Here to Helps.
Yeah.
So, you know, be mindful of what you read. Try to read something that refutes the thing.
And I also recommend following people who write about this kind of stuff, who will call this stuff out quickly, right? Like, so AVN is really good for this. AVN's very good about covering the way that porn is covered. So follow people who write for AVN. Follow, you know, these other kind of... the Adult Performers Guild would be another example. And then, you know, people whose beat is writing about this sort of thing.
Right, yeah, yeah. If you have that interest. If not, then, you know, just listen to this podcast.
That too. So I guess that takes us to our next piece of fucking news.
Oh, yes. In the realm of too much information.
Yeah. Okay, so fun fact. Michigan, which is a state that is currently having a huge outbreak.
Ain't they?
They're having a time.
They're showing out.
Yeah. So a lovely woman in Michigan. I just have to say, she and her wife are both smoking hot. Is a relevant fact.
These are just gorgeous people who just. I hope their life is great because.
Yeah. These are. Yeah. Gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous women. Tatiana Arena Villarreal and her wife both went to their doctor, like a general practitioner, for their like annual checkup, or whatever. They're lovely young adult women who are together, married. They have a child. And she noticed that in her charts online that she had been diagnosed with egodystonic lesbianism at a recent appointment.
That's fucking hilarious. So here's the thing. I was just speaking to a medical professional and I was being informed of this. My chart is a brand of medical chart technology websites or whatever, but a number of laws have been passed. I don't know if it's at the federal level or the state level or whatever, but you now have access to your charts, what doctors write about you. And thankfully we got the internet and we have encryption technology and all this stuff to make it safe but easy to see this stuff and take a more active role in your own health. That being said, it was a therapist that was telling me this, and they were like, look, you can now access what we write about you. I'm not telling you to do it or not, but we have to write things.
Yeah, have to put some in here.
We have to make judgments on you, so you know those notes are there. It's not to say that it's good or bad, but this is the process. It's not just you tell us your feelings and we all go on about our business. We have to fucking think about what the fuck you say. So it's there. Maybe you want to see it, maybe you don't, but it is now okay. And so I imagine this similar thing happened. Now this is a nightmare scenario of the ramifications of this said act. But yeah,
so it's a really,
this lady was,
it's a really funny diagnosis though too, because
first
of all, the homosexuality has been taken out of the DSM for decades. But egodystonic homosexuality as a concept, like the idea of it, is it's not actually a declaration of a person being gay or bi or whatever. The idea is that it's a mental disorder characterized by your orientation or attraction being at odds with your idealized self-image, which then causes anxiety. But it's like, that implies that either this woman is pretending to be a lesbian or wishes she wasn't one. Either way... fascinating jump, right? And this woman does not seem to imply that a big chunk of their conversation was like, oh man, I wish I wasn't gay. But like,
right, like we didn't even talk about my sexuality. They took my blood pressure, height and weight.
Yeah.
And then she was like, I mean, she's cute, so obviously something's wrong, right? Like, that is that.
Yeah, I'm wondering if that's what it is, because they're both like incredibly like attractive, and this person just made a judgment because they were like, but I wish she was straight, so.
All right. They went a long way in this article of not mentioning the doctor, so there's,
yeah,
you can't really postulate anything about this.
Oh, this, it looks like it is a woman, actually, because there's a quote in here from Reina.
She said, I can remove this if you want
me
to.
Yeah, she said. So it must have been a woman, doctor. And, like, the, you know, the medical practice said, like, you know, we can't really comment on anything that's in anybody's chart. But, you know, obviously they separated themselves from the concept of you know, this in general is an idea. Right.
It's like, we are not going to comment on how horrible this person must be. Which is, you know, a great thing for, I would want my doctor to say that to the news too.
It's just so strange, because like, it's, you know, not only is it discriminatory, but it's also like, to even think about a diagnosis that hasn't been relevant in like 30 years is very funny. Like, how old is this doctor that they like just haven't for 30 years?
Right. It's questioned, because it was like, the medical field has essentially said we're not using this diagnosis or thinking this way since the 80s. But some way, somehow, this made it onto our chart in the year of our Lord 2021. So, like, was it, I was talking to my wife about this, and she was like, is it like a bad code? Like, you know, you meant to put in, you know, the code for it is like 0411, and you fat fingered it to 0422 or something. But then that just begs the question, you mean egodystonic lesbianism is in the systems?
Well, there's that.
In 2021, right? It's like, there's, yeah, no matter how you try to peel this onion, you just keep, it keeps making you cry.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't make any fucking sense. Because
it's not in the DSM. For a while, right, the World Health Organization acknowledged it, but they took it out. You know, so it's like, it's very weird. And then really the only time this sort of thing ever comes up at this point is from specifically religious practices where they believe in conversion therapy, which is so completely debunked on every level.
There isn't a doctor. Well,
that, because it's like, not only is it not necessary or good, but it also doesn't work. So like, even let's say you're just full of anxiety about whatever your sexual orientation is, whether you're gay or straight or whatever, or you don't want to be, you know, sexual at all, or maybe you're asexual or whatever, and you want to change it, like, conversion therapy does not change you. It just gives you trauma, and it will,
even the people who want it to work, it does not work for them.
It's a really strange thing that happened. And like, I, you know, I wish that there was more information about what happened. Like, they don't talk to the doctor. Apparently the doctor apologized. We're like, yeah, we can take it out of your chart, but like, what? I have so many questions.
Right. I could take it out your chart. That's not the point.
Yeah.
Nah, I think you need to leave it in there, along with like your name and phone number, because other people need to call you out on this shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, the fuck? The hell does that have to do with anything?
Yeah. Yeah.
Were you drunk?
I don't know.
It's like, you know, it's like, I know some people who have worked in the medical field, and I know that there was a whole thing about the, like, PETA was like something they would put on people's medical charts. PETA meant, you know, the acronym for pain in the ass.
So
like, if you were a jerk, they'd put PETA on your thing so that the next person who had to see you would know, I'm dealing with a dickhead here. You know, and they do those sorts of things, and I'm sure, as with any job, you do some things that are not above board so you can get a laugh out of your colleagues and build camaraderie that way. But I just can't and you know, I'm no doctor, but I cannot figure out how ego dystonic lesbianism is a I take that back. I could see that if I worked at a place and I looked up someone's chart and that was in there, I would holler. Like, I would laugh hard. And then I would go, what the fuck? So hopefully this is just a bad joke.
Yeah.
But the doctor could never admit that.
No. I mean, this is just, yeah, this is a mess. Because it's like, we're taking it very lightly because it's just so silly. But, like, this is a very serious thing because there are still so many places where people continue to treat just, like, being a normal human sexual person, being, you know, gender nonconforming, all of these things are being treated as, you know, almost crimes in some cases. Yeah. Like, we're seeing all of these anti-trans bills that are happening. They're basically like, just like, being trans is now like illegal.
Right. It's like, it's funny, except for the fact that it does actively hurt people today.
Yes. Right? Yes.
It's like, I was just listening to This Is Love, which is a nice podcast. Shout out to Phoebe Judge.
Yeah. From the makers of Criminal.
From Criminal, yeah, from the makers of Criminal is now This Is Love. And the most recent episode that I listened to was about a lady who turned out, just give you the TLDR, in the beginning of the AIDS epidemic, she found herself, because of a family feud, not the show, but an actual feud within her family, she owned a lot of grave plots. And because she owned so many and was a decent human fucking being, she ended up giving a lot of those plots to gay men who had died from AIDS in the 80s.
When it was not as cool.
When it was not as cool, and they played a lot of the clips of, like, the fucking president's press officer giggling whenever journalists would be like, hey, does the president have anything to say about this, like, AIDS syndrome that's killing one out of every three people it touches? And it's like, the president doesn't have it, do you? Ha 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 ha. You know. So, in the midst of all of that, she was doing this, you know, fucking angelic work of giving these people the right to die and a final resting place when so many places would not do that. But one of the things she said was she had to be incredibly secretive about it, and you know, Phoebe Judge was like, why? And I was like, because if the wrong person found out, they could take my child away.
Oh god.
And yeah. She was like, why would they take your child away? She's like, because I had them around sexual deviance and I had them exposed to disease where I lived. That's enough that they would have took my kid.
Yeah.
And this is echoes of that, right? Where, like, this can be put on your file, and if you live in the wrong place, someone can, you know, use this as another means to, you know, get you committed, get your child taken away, restrict your ability to fucking drive, even, you know?
Yeah. It makes me really grateful because I actually went for my, like, annual wellness check today, and I was just so pleasantly surprised by the way that I was asked questions about, like, you know, the gender of the people that I sleep with, and, you know, you know, there was a very clear tone that, like, whatever the answer was fine. They just wanted, they wanted to know for, you know, their medical reasons, which would be like, you know, what tests do I need to run, and like, what kind of, you know, birth control do you need or whatever, and those kind of things. And I'm so grateful that that's the reality that I have now, but that has not always been the case. Not even for me personally. There's definitely been doctors who were not and I know
you ain't gay, is you?
Still definitely,
like, not the way to ask that question.
Wait, what was that?
You ain't gay, is you? Oh, it's God. Not the way to ask that question.
I remember one time I went in for a wellness check when I lived in South Philly, so to set the tone, and they had, like, I think she might have been like a medical student who was doing you know, I'm not even sure what the name of the level is where you're like going and, mm-hmm. and doing that.
She was an understudy.
Yeah. An apprentice. Yeah. A journeyman. And the, yeah. The way that she asked the question was, you don't do drugs, do you?
Yeah.
And I was like, bitch, I'm not going
to
tell you.
These are not the ways to ask that question.
I'm not going to tell you.
So. Right. Right. Right.
And this is the importance also of just like LGBT affirming care and making sure that
yeah.
medical students are getting this stuff, because like just because you're like, I don't want to be a bigot doesn't mean you know how to do this either.
You know
so
how right.
I yep. do trainings with medical students yep. that's basically like, how do you do this in a way that is inclusive? Like your intentions are great and they go a long way, and usually people can you're tell right. by the way you talk to them whether you respect them or not, but you know there's like little stuff that a medical uh-huh. office could do to be more inclusive. And like when you ask questions about gender, you know, what is the reason for that, like what is the data that you will glean from gender versus that sort of thing, and like yeah. You know, just having more inclusive language on things. And there's just so many small, subtle ways, and just making sure that you respect people's pronouns and the name that they want to go by. It doesn't always have to be their legal name, and just a lot of small things that add up really significantly.
Yeah, and it's you know, it's great that this kind of stuff is happening, but I think that the general public is not aware of how new that nuance is to medical care and yeah. to the teaching of medical care.
Very new.
Very, very new. And it's like, you know, on one hand, play devil's advocate, it's like, you know, you want to kind of forgive doctors for being obtuse on this. There are so many other things they got to worry about. Fucking veins and thyroids and shit.
Fucking
like,
veins.
There's so many... Yeah, you know, it's like, I got to worry about other things, much less your feelings, but, like, it's also very important, because you want, doctors are given trust by the public, and, you know, they can go a long way to make life easier on people, or harder on people.
Well, and then a more, like, very life or death way to put this is that if people don't feel safe going to the doctor, they won't, and then they won't catch
right.
or treat things. And this is, you know, like yep. a big reason why, you know, a lot of people will not go get their gynecological exams, they will not get their pap smears, because they are afraid of having those kind of traumatic experiences, and so they put it off yeah. and they put it off. And like, the screening exists, it is a thing that could have been caught, is a thing that could have been treated, but mm-hmm. if you feel like you're gonna get super invalidated the whole time, you know,
yep.
just like put it off for a day, put it off for a week, put it off for a month, put it off for 10 years.
Yep. Yep. Just don't do it. And then, yeah. And then you become a burden on the system for something that could have been prevented. And, you know, I would not blame the person with the least amount of power in that situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, shout out to this.
But also,
yeah.
Damn it.
So shout out to this incredibly gorgeous couple and the beautiful family. And that doctor yeah. needs to go take some training in
yeah.
LGBT affirming care. That would be
just,
phenomenal.
Yeah, I think, yeah, man. Like something, you know, not to go too far, beat this dead horse, but like somebody's got to put an inquiry into this doctor's entire career. Like,
yeah.
Who did they yeah. learn under? Who are their bosses? Like, you know, maybe that's too much for just what could be a slight error, but like, how and why did this end up here? And, you know, I don't know. This was in Michigan, which is an entire state.
It's an entire state.
Right? That has Fort Wayne and Detroit and Flint in it. So mm-hmm. it's a wide variety of people with very different access to clean water.
Yeah.
So, you know, who knows where it was, and who knows how much danger this is actually, you know, lifting the veil on. But You know, hopefully they're in a place. Oh no, in Troy, Michigan. So I have no idea what the fuck.
I don't know anything about Troy, Michigan's culture.
Yeah, neither do I.
But I do know that Michigan like... has a lot of like women in positions of power, like politically, like the governor. But there has been a huge backlash against that. A few months ago, there was an attempted kidnapping of said Governor Whitmer.
Yes. So, like, and you know, this same governor wanted to put in a lot of mandates on social distancing and stuff in the light of a global pandemic, and was actually sued by a political party or the affiliates of one into backing down from a lot of those proposed measures, and now they are leading the nation in a new wave of infections. So
a lot happening in Michigan right now.
Michigan's a big place.
Yes,
with a lot of people.
Yeah. Well, on that note, I guess that is our fucking news for today. So, speaking of a lot of people, I don't know, where can a lot of people find out more about you, Daryl, and buy your Black Gentrifier merch?
Yes, you can get my Black Gentrifier merch on tpublic.com/. Look, here's the thing. Go on the website. It's called darylcomedy.com. There's a page there that says Black Gentrifier. It's there, I promise. And on there, you can get all the information about my award-winning album. And by award, I mean people have told me that they like it. So you can do that. You can go there. You can check my calendar for the dates and the things that I'll be doing. I am starting some classes back up. So I got a storytelling workshop if you want to take it. I got a class about bringing improv to your stand-up performance. So that will help whether you want to tell jokes or not, if you just want to be a decent public speaker, if you just want to have some fun on Zoom and learn some public speaking skills, you can take that class. All of that is on darylcomedy.com.
And I dub Black Gentrifier the best comedy album of 2020. So now you are awarded the DTF award for best comedy album.
Best comedy album. Yep. It's first stop, DTF. Next stop, the Grammys.
Yeah.
We out here, baby.
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah.
For me, you can find out more at sexwithtimarie.com. TIMAREE. Sexwithtimarie.com. Where I post news links, including the stories that we have discussed in DTF. I post tickets and registration for my upcoming events, including I've got some upcoming shows. I do a recurring show that normally has a whole cast called Get You a Babe Could Do Both, and it's a mixture of lightning talks and burlesque. But I have a few upcoming spotlight shows at Taboo where it's a one woman version of the show. So I give expanded versions of the talks. Ooh. They're often on sexual subjects. And then I also do burlesque. So you can get tickets for that through my website. And we also have the big 5-year anniversary of Slut Church, which is Philly's metal BDSM gothy witch burlesque troupe. So if you like any of those things, you can celebrate with us in person. It'll be outdoors. It'll be distance and masked and all that. Free to attend, but you gotta strip your tippers. You gotta tip your performers, and you will be notified at the location the day of if you register in advance. So that is all on my website as well, so you can check that out there. Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah. So thank you to our editor and our producer, Flirt Vonnegut. And thank you, everybody, for listening for today, so for 8 years. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't wait to do this in person. We are closer now than we have ever been before.
That's true. I'm so excited. So stay posted to find out when that's happening, and you can come drink with us in a bar again.
Or, in a field. Look.
Yeah, sure.
Who knows?
A barn,
In a barn. It's fine.
We'll figure it out. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody. And
thank y'all.
We will talk to you next week. You ain't hanging with the team if you ain't down to fuck.